Hey, the cheerful voice on the phone is our very own Tom Casper, and there's nothing like wind chills of 30 below to make you think about, you know, gardening. Howdy, dude.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
Oh, I startled a bunny this morning. The snow, you know, of course, is like 3 feet up the trunks. And so it's really easy almost for the bunnies to reach up and put their paws up on the feeders and help themselves. But there's a lot of spilled seed. So he was having some seed, and then he was going to have a frozen apple off the tree. And then I had to go to work and I startled him.
Oh.
I felt bad.
Yeah. Knowing bunnies pretty well and their actions, I'm sure he's back there already.
No doubt.
Consuming that apple.
Well, the whole apple thing is a whole different story because we talked about apples this spring and the idea that you would actually go out and put like little tiny Ziplocs on all of your apples. I mean, that's like really tall ladders, and how do you even get them all, and where do all those Ziplocs come from, and so many questions. And so I just didn't get around to the apples were bumpy. I know the worms were gone, but ew. So didn't get around to picking any of the apples off the tree, but it's super fun to watch all the little birds and beasts enjoy them now anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a kind of a good way of looking at it, that you may have not gotten out there to cover those apples, and it is a tremendous amount of work. And as we approach spring, maybe we'll talk about more about what you can do naturally to help control some of those bumps, which are apple maggots that are getting in that apple, things that you can do in the spring that help with that more naturally than
either that or
up into that tree with two bags of
yeah.
And
either that or, I don't know, maybe we can talk with like the community garden people about, you know, some kind of a great recipe for apple maggots. I mean, these are the people that come up with the vegetable of the year, okay? I mean, and this year, it's broccoli. And they're going to be providing recipes. They provided recipes to make people want to eat kale and rutabaga. And this year, they're going to come up with recipes to make people want to eat broccoli. And if you can do that, you can make apple maggots palatable.
Well, you know, applesauce, actually, you had mentioned it early, that the apple or the
applesauce or apple butter.
Yeah, they have the maggot has already left, emerged from the apple and flown away as a fly.
Oh, that's so much better.
Yeah, so applesauce is a perfect use for that. And you cook it, you know, you put it on the stove and heat it and boil it. So any kind of potential for issues is long gone.
Well, and then for either applesauce or apple butter, you mash it through a colander. And so, you know, a lot of the whatever.
But we're not here to talk about apple maggots.
It was disgusting when we talked about it in the spring, and 6 months later, whatever it is, it's still disgusting.
And we're going to discuss about it again this spring.
Next topic.
So what I really, you know, what I was going to talk about is how to care for those houseplants.
Yes.
During the winter months here with it. As dry as our houses are. But I really was inspired by a story that you sent me on Facebook about lilacs.
Right. And I was thinking, why did nobody mentioned a windbreak? Because you'd plant back in the day, you know, you'd get your little homestead set up and you'd plant trees all around the homestead if you needed to. So that, in particular, to the north and the west, you had a windbreak. And then lilac bushes are about, or even when they get as tall as trees, we had them as tall as trees at home, but when they get, even at their full height, they're about half the size of a regular tree. Mm-hmm. So they're a really great outside thing to put in a windbreak.
Yeah.
But they didn't mention that.
They didn't mention that. And being from North Dakota, both of us have North Dakota roots or North Dakota region roots.
Something.
Yeah, and I my first job after I graduated from North Dakota State was in shelter belt research for the university.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, well, you know, 105 degrees out in the plains in North Dakota planting trees with not a drop of water in sight.
And I remember mowing my yard and saying, someday I'm going to live somewhere where when I mow, there's shade.
Yeah. Yeah, cool was not the term I used for the job for most of the season.
Yep.
Exact opposite of that. But anyway, but the story you had sent me was about lilacs and about their significance in old farmstead and around people's old homes. And the story identified two major purposes to why we still see lilacs. And we still see them on farmsteads that are long since gone and are basically returning to the earth. But the lilac is still there and still blooming and still a significant part of the landscape 100 years or 120 years later. And a story, the writer had done some research on it and he came to two conclusions based on what he had research. The first one was these lilacs were often planted near the outhouse for obvious reasons. But if you look at these old farmsteads, they're really out from the ways.
You must have just moved a tiny bit. Move back to where you were standing before.
Sorry. Okay, there, how's
now,
that?
You're perfect. All right.
All right. So the outhouses were adorned with lilacs,
right?
And as for obvious reasons and so on. But the other one,
privacy.
Significant one that I didn't realize was often lilacs were planted in memory of stillborn or miscarriage children that were born on the farm or the wife or family had lost on the farm and they were buried and a lilac planted by them to denote some significance and love. So it's interesting to think about that and think about that 150 years ago when those kinds of tragedies were happening, that plant was placed by where the remains of that child would be buried.
What a lovely tribute.
And I don't know, I haven't connected this yet, but my speculation is that may be the beginnings of when people started giving plants or flowers to people, you know, during those kinds of tragedies and things like that. And some of them were plants that they would plant, you know, that had some, that could be enjoyed for years and years and years, and also as a marker and things like that. So really, the significance of plants, and to me, it hearkens to what plants do for us during difficult times, and what they can mean to us as we move forward in our lives, but remember and hold on to things that have happened to us in the past, whether it's a plant at a that somebody's giving to somebody who's lost a loved one and planted a tree in their honor, or designated a rose bush in their honor, or whatever it happens to be. In this case, it was lilacs that were planted near old homes and farmsteads to denote these children that were tragically lost, and just that importance or that significance of plantings. Again, you and I have that, and certainly your joy of planting has just blossomed in the last couple of years. Yeah, and exploded into this love of it, and are seeing how it impacts yours and other people's maybe even a mental sort of state. So when you think back 100 years ago or 100 and some years ago when that was being done, people didn't have a computer or a cell phone or telephone even to communicate with loved ones and talk about these things. They oftentimes were isolated out on a farm, and looking out at that lilac denoting something that was tragic, and now there's life there. I'm certain had great meaning to them as they moved through their lives. So.
A lot of people talk about having either outdoor plants like a rose bush or something, or even a lot of people have indoor plants, house plants. This is a cutting from my grandma's Christmas cactus. This is a cutting from my grandma's or my mom's, fill in the blank. And people do use plants either, you know, outdoors as a permanent part of their landscaping or indoors in a more portable way to stay connected to people that they love.
Yeah, it's very significant, and we're certainly, like I said, in a couple of weeks we'll talk about how to care for those house plants. So if you have received those kinds of things from family members or in recognition of a loss, and that plant has some significant meaning to you, there are things you can do certainly to really enjoy that plant for years and years and years, and then even potentially passing part of it on to your loved ones or to your people that mean something in your life, and carrying that on from year to year and generation to generation. That's one of the many beautiful things about plants. It's one of the few living, it's maybe the only living thing except for our child, that or children that really can go on for generations. And you know, I talk to folks who have their grandmother's Christmas cactus that's over 100 years old and has been passed on, and you know, and they still carries memories. I mean, it's a living, basically a living memorial to that person and to that past. So
we'll give the listening audience a little homework assignment, if you want, so that you can contribute to our conversation about houseplants in a couple of weeks. If you have safe, friendly, appropriate methods of keeping your cats out of your houseplants, and I'm talking not only about the big house plants with big pots of dirt that you got to watch what the cats are doing. I'm talking about them nibbling on house plants because cats just love to nibble on house plants. How do you keep your cats out of your house plants? That's what I'd like to know. Drop us a line. You can email nmorning@kumd.org. And you can just put cats and houseplants in the subject line. And if you've got some good ideas about how to keep the cats out of the houseplants, you know, we're not advocating violence of any kind here. Maybe stern talkings, maybe if you just give them a stern talking to, it works. I don't know. But anyway, drop us a line, nmorning, nmorning, @kumd.org, and put cats and houseplants in the subject line. And then that'll be part of our conversation about cats or about houseplants in the next couple of weeks. My daughter and their roommate just got a cat. And all of a sudden, conversations with them start to be blah, 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 get out of there, blah, 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 stop that. The cat's lovely, but they had a lot of houseplants, and now they have a cat in the houseplant. So I'm just curious. This is something I'm curious about. I've not been able to solve the problem in my home, except for not having any houseplants. So.
Well, yeah, that'd be fun to see what people have come up with that works for them. And I encourage people to also go to your Facebook page and find that story that you had.
I will put a link to it. I will put a link to that story in the post for this story today. So if folks are curious about reading that article about lilacs, there'll be a link to it. So it'll be easy for everybody to find.
Yeah, and maybe they even share some of their stories about things like that.
That'd be great. TK, we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. How's that grab you?
Great. You stay warm.
I'm going to try.
All right. Bye now.
Tom Casper, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, a regular feature of every other Tuesday right here on Northland Morning.